right, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Lesson number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is where we are this morning. Chapter 1 we covered about 2 weeks ago, and we discussed a commendable church, right? The Thessalonian church was a commendable church. They were a church that was focused on the coming of the Lord. They were a church that had those three ingredients. Remember those three ingredients? Faith, hope, and love. Three key ingredients for any Christian and for any church. Faith, trusting in Christ. Hope, that confidence in His return. And love. Love for the Lord, love for others. They were a commendable church. They were a good church. Well, how do good churches just happen? No, right?
No.
I think we can say that one reason that the Thessalonian church was a commendable church was because Paul had a devoted ministry. It was because of Paul's devoted ministry, and we're going to look at that today. Paul's devoted ministry had a strong impact on these people, and it influenced them. You know, listen, that's what it really boils down to, is people influence other people, right? And people influence you for one of two things, either for good or for bad. There are good influences in life, people that encourage you to do the right thing, and then there's those who discourage you from doing the right thing. Paul was the kind of guy that impacted people for good. So when Paul started this church, he started a good thing. Of course, all glory goes to the Lord. It's the Lord starting the work through Paul, but that's the introduction. The Apostle Paul was an amazing example of what a devoted preacher should be. Paul was a devoted preacher. Paul was a devoted preacher. That's the first blank. And then, this type of ministry makes a real impact. A real impact. You want to make a real impact on people? Be devoted. Be devoted. And this chapter is going to talk about Paul's ministry, how he reached out to these people. Because there were people that were criticizing Paul. Paul had his critics, right? Every good preacher has his critics, right? Because anytime somebody does something good for the Lord, there's going to be those who criticize him and say false things about him. Really, these were false things that were being said about Paul. People were saying names about Paul, that Paul was in it for the wrong reasons. And Paul's going to lay it out in chapter 2 and say, I was not in this for any personal gain. Some people might, unfortunately, for whatever odd reason, I think there's better lines of work to go into, but some people, for whatever reason, might pursue the ministry for wealth and fame. And I guess if you land in the right church, you might find that. But the average church, you're not going to find that. Nobody, you know, a preacher's not going to come to Community Baptist Church looking for fame and wealth, okay? Because it's just not here, right? That's not what you come here for. You come here to serve. There's some churches that maybe a preacher can land a certain position and become famous and wealthy. You see him on TV and whatnot. Paul was not that kind of preacher. First of all, what kind of ministry did Paul have? Number one, it was bold. Bold. Paul had a bold ministry. He was not afraid to speak the truth. He had a bold ministry. And that's chapter 2. We start in verse 1. He starts off by saying to these church members, he says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. It was not in vain. Maybe some people were saying, oh, it was pointless for you to go there, Paul. Or, oh, you know, why did you waste your time going there? You know, this and that and the other. Sometimes people might say that about a certain church or a certain place. Oh, don't go there. You're wasting your time. Don't go do this. You're wasting. Paul said it was not in vain. Letter A. When we serve where God sends, it will never be in vain. When you serve where God sends, wherever God sends you, it'll never be in vain.
Amen.
All right? Paul said it was not in vain, my coming to you, Thessalonians. He said, when I came to your area, it was not in vain. You know, anything you do for the Lord is not in vain. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:58. This is a great verse of the Bible. Sometimes you wonder, what's the point? Maybe you ask yourself, why do I even need to do what I do? Is it really that important? Is there really any merit? Well, if you're doing it for the Lord, It's never pointless. Look at verse 58, 1 Corinthians 15. Let's have somebody read that. All right, we'll give it to Sandy.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The key is in the Lord. If you're doing it for the Lord, it'll never be in vain. It's never pointless. Don't ever get this idea that, oh, I'm doing, you know, this is a pointless job. If you're doing it for the Lord, it's not pointless. It's not in vain. So Paul says, my coming to you was not in vain. There was a good result. And then in verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians 2, he says, but even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi. Remember we covered that in Acts chapter 16? Paul and his men were beaten and thrown into jail at Philippi, remember? And then they prayed, and at midnight God sent the earthquake, and they got out. But they had a rough time at Philippi. It was not an easy time for them. He says, you know, in verse 2, that we suffered. He says, you know we were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. But notice what he says. We were bold. See the key word? We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Paul said that did not stop us from preaching. Isn't that something? Letter B. Nothing ever deterred Paul from preaching the gospel. Nothing could stop Paul from preaching. The question, next question, is letter C. What does it take to silence believers today? And I dare say the answer is not much. Not much. That's the answer to letter C. So the question is, what does it take to silence believers today for letter C? What does it take to silence believers today? The answer is not much. Not much. It's, you know, Paul was beaten. I mean, Paul was thrown into jail. Paul had all these things done to him. I mean, he said that didn't stop us from preaching. The mission wasn't easy, but he did not stop preaching. And then today we have believers who will be silenced just by, you know, maybe an angry look, or an unkind word, and all of a sudden they'll never preach again to whatever. So, you know, nothing could stop Paul. The question is, why do we stop so quickly, right? We're so quick to stop. We're a lot softer than Paul was. Brother Tony.
I mean, I got a big mouth.
Yeah, we know you're bold. Brother Tony, we know.
I get in the stores, I hear somebody say something that's not right against God, I jump all over it. I don't care what they do.
That's
say.
Good.
She's trying to calm you down.
Shut up.
Well, she's trying to keep you out of a fight. She doesn't want to see you get into a fight.
This guy can say, this is more than him.
Yeah. Well, you know, Brother Paul was bold. Brother Paul was bold, and he said, we went through a lot of things, but he said, we were still bold to preach the gospel. Even though there was a lot of contention, we still preached the gospel. Then verse 3, he says, because remember, people were falsely accusing Paul. Oh, Paul, you're just doing this because you want to be somebody big. Oh, Paul, you're doing this because you want to be famous. Paul said in verse 3, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile. In other words, there was no hypocrisy there. There was no personal gain. And that's letter D. The character of the preacher matters. The character of the preacher does matter. Paul said, hey, we were sincere. He said, our message was not deceptive. He says, my motivation was not selfish. And he says, my method was not flattering. He's going to talk about that in verse 4. Verse 5. He says, we weren't here to flatter you. We weren't here to, you know, make a name for ourselves. Paul said, we were here to preach the truth. And that's always an important question. You know, a person's motive. Why do they want to do what they're planning on doing? Is there any selfish reasons for doing what they want to do? Paul said, it was not for us. No personal gain for us, Paul said. We didn't come to you to fleece the sheep, as many say. He says, we were here to give to you. And he says, we were honest. All right? Letter E. What we are is far more important than anything we ever say. You know that? What you are is more important. Because anybody can talk the talk, right? But you have to walk it if you want to have an impact.
All the truth found
how he treats us. If you do it all the way,
it can. Paul said we have a good character. You see our character. He says you know us. And letter F, a Christian who has lost his character has lost everything. If you lose your character, you lose everything. Because now you have no credibility. Now, nobody will listen to you. You lose your character, now you don't have an audience. Because nobody wants to listen to you, right? Who's going to listen to you when you lose your character? Who's going to listen to you when they know that you have a hypocritical testimony? Nobody. So your character is priceless. You cannot afford to lose it. You cannot afford to compromise it. Once you lose your character, you have nothing else. You've lost it all. So what you are is so important. Then verse 4, he says in verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Letter G, the gospel message has been entrusted to us. He says the gospel message was entrusted to us, and we have been faithful to declare it. It's just, you're just a delivery person. You're just the delivery person. You're just delivering a message. You're not inventing the message. You didn't make it up. It's not your message. It's the Lord's message. You're just delivering it. All right? So that's why when people get upset at you and people reject it, they're not rejecting you as much as they're rejecting God. Right? Because it's God's message. You're just delivering the message.
Right.
All
right?
You're just the delivery boy. That's it. You're the pizza delivery man. You didn't make the pizza. You're just delivering it. If they have a problem, well, it's not with you, right? You're just delivering.
But you have to deliver it.
But you got to deliver it. And don't be late. They don't like it when it's late, right? You get no tip if it's late. But we're just delivering. That's all we're doing. We're just delivering, and Paul says, hey, we've been entrusted with the gospel. Just God gave it to us, and we're just speaking it. And he says, we're not pleasing men. See verse 4? We're not here to please men. We're not here to make people happy. We're not here to entertain people. We're here to please God, which trieth our hearts. And that's letter H. Pleasing God must always be our goal.
Amen.
Our goal is to please God, not to please man. So the goal is to please God. So Paul starts off by saying, hey, I have a bold ministry. He wasn't boasting. He's just saying, you know what we went through. Then number 2, what kind of ministry is a devoted ministry? Number 2, it's caring. Caring. Paul had a caring ministry. He cared for people. That's the type of ministry that makes an impact. He cared about people. And in verse 5, he says, for neither at any time used we flattering words. Beware of those that use flattering words. Always making you, you know, always trying to build you up, like make you feel better and this and that. Listen, okay, encouragement is good. Flattery is not good. Flattery is just, you know, where they don't really mean it and they're just trying to, you know, build up your ego. And usually when a person flatters you, they're doing it to set you up for a fall. You know, usually they're doing it for some selfish reason. Flattery. Paul says, we didn't use flattery. And he says, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. He says, we weren't in this to get money from you. He says, God is a witness. God sees us. And so you know what, Paul, letter A, the preaching of Paul was always straightforward. Straightforward preaching. He didn't try to flatter people. He wasn't one of those positive thinking preachers. He said, we used straightforward preaching. And then letter B, the message of the church must not be tailored in an attempt to draw a crowd. Paul said, we did not seek to draw a crowd. We did not seek to please men. We weren't in it for the money. He says, we just came to preach. He was not seeking popularity. He wasn't trying to be everybody's friend. That's important. This is an important, you know, to have a devoted ministry, you need to have this type of preaching. And then verse 6, he says, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you. nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. In other words, what he's talking here is we did not demand any money from you. You know, Paul didn't show up at the church and say, all right, I'll preach for you only if you pay me so much. Paul lived by faith. And that's letter C. Paul was not there to get, but to give. Paul was not there to get, but to give. He said in verse 6, we might have been burdensome to you. We could have claimed and said, you know, hey, we're apostles, you ought to support us. Hey, we're servants of the Lord, you need to pay us for our services. He says, but we didn't do that. We didn't do that when we came to you. He didn't claim any rights. See, Paul was there to give. He wasn't there to get. And verse number 7 says, but we were gentle. See the kind of guy he was. He's bold. He's a bold preacher, but he's also gentle in his ministry. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Like a nursing mother. He says, we were gentle. Because the Thessalonians were newborn Christians. They needed to be nursed to health. As 1 Peter 2:2 talks about, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That's what new believers need. They need the milk of the word. They need the very simple things of the Bible. And Paul says, we were nursing you to health. You were a new Christian, baby Christian. And we were here to help you to grow. And Paul was very gentle among them. And that's letter D. The ministry often requires gentleness. There's a time for boldness, there's a time for being firm with people, but there's also a time for being gentle with people. You know, especially with newborn Christians. You know, newborn babies. Newborn babies need gentleness. You don't rough them up. When they're a little older, then you rough them up, right? But when they're little babies, newborn babies, you know, week old, month old, 2 months old, they require gentleness. Little babies. And they need proper care, tender, loving care. That's what the church should provide for new Christians. Alright? The church should provide tender care. Taking them along and helping them, teaching them. Look at 2 Timothy 2. Just turn ahead a few pages. So don't always be so rough and tough with everybody, right? Need a little gentleness also. Paul said, we were gentle among you. 2 Timothy 2:24. Here's a great verse to remind us how we ought to treat people. There's a right way to talk to people, isn't there? There's a proper way to treat people. And 2 Timothy 2:24, if somebody would like to read that. We guys, this is good. Yes, go ahead.
The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men.
Apt.
Apt to teach.
And that last word, I think, is a key word, right? Patient. It takes patience. It's tough. Don't, you know, he says, we're not here to, you know, strive and fight with people about things. We have to be gentle, patient, all right? And that requires, you know, it takes the Spirit of the Lord. Yes?
Every time I'm with somebody with a small baby, it's like looking in the mirror when I was before. That's why I'm not so wrong from there, because at one point I was exactly like them.
Okay.
Good.
That's a good reminder, right? Because we all at one time may have been in their position. And we wouldn't have appreciated somebody, you know, roughing us up. It may have turned us off to the gospel, right? So yeah, absolutely. But Tony?
I'm okay with that word.
Oh, good, I'm glad. Okay, oh yeah, that's you don't like the part after that. That's hard, yeah, it is tough. But we pray. And I think of the Lord. Jesus had a balance. Because it was dependent upon who he was talking to. Because we know that when Jesus talked to the Pharisees, he was a little rough with them, wasn't he? He didn't have much patience for the Pharisees because they walked around like, you know, Mr. Righteous all the time, and they weren't. And he called them a bunch of names. He called them hypocrites and snakes and whited gravestones. He wasn't kind. He didn't give them kind words. It depends who you're dealing with. But I think in particular, when you're dealing with a new believer, it takes gentleness, it takes patience. They might not get it all right away. There's some things that might take time for them to learn. Yes? So humility, you know, is important. So Paul was gentle. It's a gentle ministry. And notice, this is an interesting thing that I read about, and of course mothers would know about this. When a mother is nursing a child, she has to eat the right things, right?
Amen.
Because what she eats will affect the child that she's nursing, and that's a fact. If she eats something that is not right, she can make the child sick.
Amen.
All right. I know my wife had to tailor her diet a whole lot with Cameron because Cameron had an allergy at first, his first year of life, and that was a real challenge. But here's the lesson, letter E. You must feed yourself if you are going to feed others.
Amen.
A mother, if she does not eat well or she just doesn't eat at all, she's not going to be able to nourish her child. And you will not be able to feed other Christians if you're not feeding yourself.
Amen.
And that's, of course, particularly important for preachers. They have to feed themselves. And that's why it's good for preachers sometimes to get away and hear some preaching, you know. And that's, it's good for them because it recharges them. You know, sometimes if the preacher's always preaching and always giving out and never receiving anything, it's a challenge. And it's good for them to get preaching too. So you know what? You have to feed yourself if you're going to feed others. Now, you can't feed others if you don't feed yourself. And that's an important lesson. So Paul said, we nurse you to health, he says to them. And then verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you. You hear the language of love here. How much he loved these people. He says, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only. We weren't only willing to give you the gospel, but he says, but also our own souls. Because you were dear unto us. He says, we were ready to give you our whole being. We would have given anything for you, he said. And that's letter F. A good minister truly loves his people. Just like Jesus loved the people he ministered to. Where we read in the Bible that Jesus was moved with compassion. He saw the people, he loved them, and he reached out to them. He was moved with compassion. That's what a good preacher will do. Moved with love. Paul says, we loved you so much, we would have given you anything. We gave ourselves to you. He says, we gave you everything we had. Paul was not this distant pope-like figure, as some religions would promote. He was not this, I'm a holy father, you stay away from me, you know, you bow down. Paul was the kind of guy, I'm sure, that would walk up to the average church member, put his arm around him, give him a hug, all right, and sit down and have a meal with them and talk with them and share time with them. Paul was close to these people. He was not, oh, I'm an apostle, you stand back. Okay, get in line, everybody. I'll give you 5 seconds to shake my hand. That's not what Paul was. Paul was close to the people. He loved the people. He said, we spent time with you. We're like a family, he said. That's what a good minister does. Close. Yes.
Scripture is in almost every epistle that he wrote.
Yes.
Holy kids.
Amen. Paul loved these people. Yeah. And you know, Paul was a close kind of preacher. He was not, you know, we get this idea of the Apostle Paul that he walked around with this glow around his head and, you know, nobody dare come near him. That was not Paul. Paul was your average guy that just would spend time with the churches and be with the people. Amen. And I'm sure he went into their homes and got to know these people. He said, we love you, he says in verse 8. So it was a caring ministry. You see, you have number one, bold. But if all you have is just bold and rough, tough preaching and no love, that's not healthy. But then he has number two, caring. All right? Caring is important too. But you can't just be all lovey-dovey all the time either, right? You see, you got to have a balance. Paul was not afraid to preach the truth. He was not afraid to tell people like it was. But he also, he would preach, like really tough, I'm sure. preach against sin, and he would preach to the people. But you know what? Right after he said amen, I'm sure he was right down there giving everybody a hug and spending time with them. He was not angry at them. He loved them. So you have a balance. You know, the preacher will preach hard sermons, but he also loves you. And that's a good balance.
I have a problem with that love, too. It's very hard to love everybody. I can't.
I think you do a pretty good job, brother. I think you do a pretty good job with that. All right? Yes. Now let's look at number three. So we see he was bold, he was caring, and number three, he was dedicated. He was dedicated. This is important because dedication is hard to find. People come and go, and dedication is hard to find. Verse 9, he says, "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God." And then verse 10, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe."
Amen.
So, you know, he said in verse 9, we worked. He said we worked so that we wouldn't be chargeable unto you. And one reason is because this was a new church. Maybe this church was unable to support a preacher. That happens when a church planter goes out. That's why a lot of times, you know, we have missionaries come in who go to foreign fields, right? We've had many come through our church over the past few years. Missionaries who are going to South America, or missionaries going to Asia, or wherever they may be going, Australia. And they raise money so that they can go there. Well, why? Well, two reasons. They want to be able to focus on the preaching of the gospel 100%, not have to worry about any money issues when they're there. But secondly, probably those churches there can't support them. Oftentimes the places they go are to poverty-stricken places. Those people don't have money to support a family of four, five, or six, depending on how many children they have. Same is true here in America. Sometimes you have what is called the home missionary. Somebody who's raising support to stay here in this country. Why? So they can go to another city where there's no Bible-believing independent church, and they can start the church. And why? You know why? Because in the early years, chances are in the first 3 years of the life of that new church, they're not going to be big enough to support a preacher's family. So they need support. So they get support from other churches all around the country. And if they can get $50 a month from so many churches, which is usually what a church will support a missionary for, $50 a month, and they can get however many churches they need to support them for $50 a month, then they can go and just minister to that new city, and that church doesn't have to worry. And after a few years, usually that church will support them. But Paul said in verse 9, we worked. Now, Paul didn't have the opportunity, guess what? Because this is the early church age. He couldn't just go around as a missionary to raise money from other churches because they were still so new. Paul had to work. And he worked his way through the ministry. So that's letter A. There's no blank, but letter A. A true minister of Christ will continue to preach the gospel whether he receives money for it or has to work to finance himself.
Amen.
You know that? Now, we've said it many times in this church. It should always be the goal of the church to support the preacher. But you know what? A real preacher, he's going to preach no matter what. Whether he gets supported or not, he's still going to preach. And that's what Paul did. Right. He wasn't concerned about anything else. And we praise the Lord for that. Yep. There were quite a few years where that was the situation. Working Yeah, absolutely. And praise God, things have improved, right? Where that's not necessary anymore. That's always the goal. And then verse 11, he says, all right. He says in verse 11, "And you know, or as ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." Now, remember verse number 7? He talked about the gentle, motherly, nourishing side of the ministry. Well, now verse 11, he's talking about the instructing, fatherly side of the ministry. You see, a balanced ministry, letter B. A preacher, first of all, we see exhorts. That means come along the side of believers to aid them in the Christian walk. The first word in verse 11 is exhorted. He says, you know how we exhorted you. Meaning come along the side of. An encouraging kind of word. exhorting, come along the side of somebody and say, hey, this is the way we ought to go. Then letter C, he also, we saw in verse 11, comforts. Comfort in this verse means to persuade somebody with an urgency. To persuade somebody. You have to persuade people, right? You have to persuade people to live for the Lord. You have to encourage them and persuade them. It takes a persuasion. And then also, though, he says in verse 11, that last word, charge. And that's letter D. A preacher charges. That's not with a credit card. That is preaching with firmness and severity. Firmness. There is also that side of the ministry. So, letter E, the preacher's like a spiritual father to the church. He is. He's like a spiritual father to the church. The preacher ought to be somebody you can go to and get advice if you need it. All right? Preacher's like a spiritual father to the church. So D was firmness and E is father. So there's the motherly, gentle side. There's the fatherly side, which is, okay, this is what you need to do. You know, the mother side, the father side. You know, there's all these different sides. There's even like the brotherly side of challenging, and we're going to see that later in verses 14 through 16. So, you know, there's all these different sides of you think about the many different hats a pastor has to wear. Many different hats, right? You know, with certain people, you have to wear the tough fatherly hat because some people might need a little bit of direction. And then, like we said, with new believers, you might have to wear a more gentle hat and encourage and bring along, take them by the hand. And sometimes it's just a brotherly hat. As a friend in the Lord puts on the brotherly hat and comes right alongside of you and says, hey, you know, I want to encourage you. So there's the different sides of the ministry, the motherly side, the fatherly side, the brotherly side. Okay. Then we go to verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. That ye would walk worthy of God. What's the point of all the preaching? What's the point of all the ministry? You know what the point is? It's 1 Thessalonians 2, 12. So that you can walk worthy of God. That's the point. What's the goal of all the preaching? What's the goal? The goal is to have you live a godly life. That's the point. That's the point of every sermon. Think about it. Every sermon can be boiled down to that main point, for you to live a godly life. Every sermon gets back to that point, right? Because that's what God wants us to do. And that's letter F. The goal of all the preaching is to produce godly living. That's the goal. Amen. What is it that we need for our church? What is it that we want for our church members? What is it that we want for the folks that come in on Sunday morning and to hear a sermon? We want them to live a godly life.
Amen.
For their benefit. Not for our benefit. I mean, it benefits the church, sure, when everybody's living for the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. But it's for their own benefit, so they can be blessed. For their own personal walk with God. So that they can enjoy life as God intended life to be enjoyed. You can't enjoy life as God intended life to be enjoyed if you're not living for Him. Right?
Amen.
You cannot enjoy life as God intended for you to enjoy life if you're not living for Him.
Amen.
You're going to be miserable inside. You'll never be happy until you yield to the Lord. And that's why Paul said in verse 12, he said, we do all these things. I mean, all these things that the Apostle Paul did for this church. Why? Verse 12. So that you can walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of God, who hath called you into His kingdom and glory. That's the point of it all. Again, Paul was not there so he could get rich, because he didn't. He said we had to work to stay in this church. Paul did not go there to become popular, because he said, we never came here to preach flattering sermons to you to make you love us and this and that. Paul said, we came to give, and we came to give so you can live for the Lord. Paul was there to give.
Amen.
And then verse 13, he says, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So Paul was thankful for how they received the message. The Thessalonian church did receive it. And then verse 14, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen. Paul said, you also have been through a little rough time. Paul wasn't the only one. The Thessalonians went through a rough time. Verse 15, who killed the Lord He's talking about some of these Jews that fought and followed Paul around and persecuted Paul. He said these are the ones that persecuted the Lord Jesus. The same people. Verse 16, they forbid us to speak unto the Gentiles. They don't want us preaching. They follow us around and try to stop us from preaching. But verse 17, but we brethren being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart. He says our hearts are still with you folks. He says, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Paul said, we miss you so much, we want to see you. See, Paul was writing this letter from Corinth. He was away from them. And he said, it tore up his heart to be away from them. He loved this church. Paul loved this church. And he had to be away from them and he missed them. He says, we miss you. What kept Paul from going there? Look at verse 18. Wherefore we would have come unto you again, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. See? Paul wanted to go. But you know what? Satan hindered him. We don't know how. It doesn't tell us. Some kind of obstacles. Maybe it was health related. Maybe it was travel related. Maybe it was whatever. Paul was not able to see them. And he said, it was tearing me up. He says, I want to see you so badly, but Satan's hindering us. Satan's fighting against you, isn't he? Satan fought against Paul. He's fighting against you as well. That's something to realize. So letter G, it broke Paul's heart to be away from these believers. Do you miss church when you miss church? You understand what I'm asking you? When you miss church because of illness or because of whatever, do you miss it? You should.
Amen.
When you miss church, you should miss it. In other words, when you miss it because of whatever, you should miss it in your heart. You should, you know, your heart's still here, right? You know, last Sunday I was laid up in bed all day. You know, 101 fever, miserable. But my heart was here. I wanted to be here. You know, I missed teaching Sunday school. I missed being here. But you know, when you miss church, you should miss it in your heart. And that's what the Apostle Paul's saying. We're away from you guys, but our heart is with you. And then he says in verse 20 or verse 19, for what is our hope? You know, what made Paul happy? He says, or joy, or crown of rejoicing. What makes us happy, Paul says. He says, are not even ye, he says, you, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and joy. Paul said, you know what makes me happy? You guys. That's what made Paul happy. The believers. His people. The people he ministered to. The churches he started. The ministries he started. That's what made Paul happy. The people of God. You know, Paul went through a whole lot. But what kept Paul going, I believe, was his love for the Lord and his love for the people. Those are the two things that kept Paul. What else keeps you going in the ministry, really? What else is going to keep you faithful to church? What else is going to keep you faithfully serving the Lord? You know what's going to keep you faithful? Because it's not always going to be easy, is it? It's not always easy to serve the Lord. It's not always easy to come to church. It's not always easy to be dedicated to the Lord. It's going to be your love for the Lord and your love for God's people. If you don't have those two things, it's only a matter of time before you'll be gone.
Amen.
Right? It's only a matter of time before you'll be gone. And we see it happen often. Folks that maybe come for a short time and then they're gone. Why? Well, maybe they're lacking in those areas. Paul said, I'm away from you, but I miss you. He says, I love you. And he felt responsible for these people. Letter H. These believers were Paul's life. What's your life? What is it that makes you tick? What is it that keeps you going? What is it that you live for? What is it that motivates you? It should be your love for the Lord and your love for His people. And that's what Paul had. Paul said, we love you. He loved that church. He said, we miss you when we're away from you. He says, we care about you. We'll do anything for you. Paul loved those people. And we should have that love too. And that's what should motivate us to serve the Lord. And that's what made Paul happy, was those people. So let's close in prayer. And we'll ask Brother Bob to close us in a word of prayer, please.